This is a podcast from Seven Vineyard.
It's absolutely wonderful and such a privilege to be with you. And every time I come, I'm really struck just by the breadth of the stories of our different lives. We're all in so many different places, aren't we? From students who have just arrived to people with young kids who are trying to hold it all together, to people who are on the edge of fostering. Wow. To people who are working with the homeless and all that we've just heard about, food bank. Just amazing things. And that's just from a few moments of encounter for me this morning, let alone all the other intricacies that are going on in everyone's lives. So, such a privilege to stand here. And who the heck is this guy who's standing in front of you who's going to speak for 20 odd minutes, half an hour max? Promise I will. Oh, I'll only promise if I actually start my timer so that I know where I am. That helps. So I've already gained a few minutes. Summarise my life. So I grew up on the edge of London. I was trained as a research scientist, as a pharmacologist, worked in industry for a couple of years, then chucked it all in, did my drug days, and then decided to become a youth worker, followed by a church leader for over 20 years. And then at the age of 50, God called us to Wales to work ministering to leaders, church leaders of all denominations. For 6 years, we hosted hundreds of people, from bishops to missionaries in various far-flung places of the world. And then when COVID hit, Marianne, who couldn't be here today, and you've got, I'm afraid, the short straw this morning, and she isn't with us, but she caught COVID early on and has had long COVID for the last 6 years, which has meant that we have gone into sort of relative isolation from hundreds and hundreds of people to just the two of us in this massive place, tending sort of like 13 odd acres of land. Just having a totally different curveball of a season of life and just going, oh God, I wasn't really expecting this. But God in his kindness has a way of bringing beauty out of every season if we see it. And you might be thinking, you know, that I've had some collaboration this morning, but we haven't. Yeah. Harvest. Is this Harvest Festival? Well, I don't know. Well, you know. So this is some of the produce of our land. As I've been doing loads and loads of work in the garden, which I wasn't quite sort of expecting to be so much of a gardener over the last few years as I have been, I was thinking about today, and yeah, the old church leader in me was going, what I need to do is I need to do all this really high cerebral theological stuff about Jesus and the gardener, you know, Mary not recognizing him as the gardener, and that going back to Genesis and how John was alluding to all these things about the Jesus restoring the point of our shame and all this theological stuff. And I'm not knocking that, but yeah, that's not really where I'm at. I want to ask what's live in me about, how does this affect you today? And I'm not saying that theology isn't massively important. It is. But there was a question that got posed to me several years ago in relation to, you know, when we finally meet our Maker, when we finally meet God, and we think about, you know, is he going to be some sort of judge who's going to, right, tell me all the things that have gone on in your life and whatever. And this guy said, what if God is a fruit inspector? And I said, whoa, hang on a minute. What on earth do you mean by that? And of course, I was immediately drawn to that famous passage in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. And many theologians have actually argued that the fruit isn't 9 different aspects, it's singular fruit. And they actually would say that it's love, and in brackets, the other 8 things. And actually, the Passion Translation gets hold of this and says, but the fruit, harvest, produced by the Holy Spirit within you, is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue, goodness. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. And when we think of love, love's such a poor word in English. You know, it gets attached to so many things, and we so quickly lose the depth of what is trying to be conveyed in the scriptures. And as I was thinking about the Galatians passage of fruit with all those different aspects, there's all these links to the 2 other, what I would say, are very famous passages about love. And I know they're familiar, but I want you to see some of the overlap between these passages and the Galatians one about fruit. So 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. See some of the links. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And then another passage in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I suppose when I'm sort of saying, well, how's your fruit doing? How's your love doing? And one of the things that I tried to over the years when leading church, and I I see that this is not something at all which this beautiful church is doing, but it's a subconscious thing of what I call the not enoughs. Have we prayed enough? Have we read the Bible enough? Have I given enough? Have I spoken enough about Jesus? Have I served enough? And don't get me wrong, it's not that those things aren't important, but they're actually completely unanswerable questions, aren't they? Because we can never do enough. And so often that can form a weight of oppression on us about the not enoughs, about what we haven't done. But what if God is ultimately interested in our fruit? How's your joy going? How's your peace? Your kindness, your generosity, your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control. Oh, is it so much about what we do? I'm not saying that doing hasn't got its very real important place. But does it really start, of course, with who we're becoming? Who are we becoming? How is our fruit? And I've spent a lot of time, slow time, as Claire was sort of indicating brilliantly at the start when she was trying to slow us down. You want to come out to breathe, you're welcome to come and enter Narnian time. Slow time, and I'm spending all this time out with the fruit, looking after it, harvesting it, and I just wanted to point out a few of the allegories that I have been thinking about, and I hope that they say something to you this morning. The first one is productivity, and just how, you know, we live in the soup, don't we, of what we've known. And we've only known things post the Industrial Revolution, where everything is running at 100 miles an hour. We have everything we want on the table. We can have every bit of fruit, every bit of veg, 365 days a year from the supermarket. The whole process of growing and things taking time is not a concept that we deal with now. It used to be that you could only work for the day and that was it. Now, of course, we have machines doing everything and it's 24/7. Everything is madness and going at a crazy pace. And I think we're waking up more and more to the fact that we need to actually slow down more. But how do we view that when we think about our Christian lives, and how impatient do we get with, oh, I don't feel like I'm doing enough, or I haven't really succeeded, I'm not really doing that well. But actually, if we took the longer term view, that actually fruit takes time to mature. You take a bit of the pressure off ourselves. And so the first point as I was doing my harvesting was about this productivity and just slowing down and thinking more about taking the longer view. And then I started thinking about the seasons. And I thought that over the years I'd been coming a bit of a better gardener, you know, getting more savvy with all my pruning and dealing with the soil and all these things that I could do. Then I found that last year was rubbish for practically all my fruit and veg. Why? Because we had a cold, dry spring, then we had rain, sun, practically every day throughout the year. Absolutely ruined everything, ruined the blossoms and everything. Useless yield. This year, oh my word, what abundance. Glorious sun, glorious time during spring, and we have just had so much productivity. And I suddenly thought, well, hang on a minute, I've been doing exactly the same thing every year and yet getting totally different results. And it made me realise that 99% of what I do, I wasn't in control of. It was God who was controlling it all, the sun, the wind, the rain. I'm going to read a little quote from this book. I've got a couple of books to recommend, but this one's called Thirsting. And there's a bit in it towards the end. He says this: "You and I often seem to experience plenty of seasons where we see little or no fruit on the tree, where it feels like all we're seeing are branches falling to the ground around us, only death. We may notice seeds from the last season's harvest falling into the soil of our lives, but as sure as we see them drop, they're covered up again, hidden for years to come. Last year, we had such a deep sense of God's presence. This year, we can't sense him anywhere. Maybe it's the loss of something, ongoing illness, crippling anxiety or depression, or life circumstances we can't change or control. We pray and seek God earnestly to free or heal us, but it persists. Maybe it's that we long to love him more than we do. We ache for it, but our hearts are dim and our flame just a flicker." And it made me think about the seasons of life. And maybe you might feel that your fruit is a little bit like this little deformed courgette. And I just have this sense that when you think about a tree, I don't think it gets too stressed about whether it has a bad year of fruiting or a good year of fruiting. It does what it does, and at the end of the year it goes, "Oh, well, see what next year brings us." And I wonder whether perhaps we need to take some of the pressure off of us as to what does the fruit in our life look like at the moment. As I say, you might be going through one of those years where it's really hard and you don't see much fruit on the tree. But that's okay. God knows. He understands. He understands the complexities of our lives better than we do. He understands our humanity, all the pressure on us. And so I just feel that there's a sense in which that fruit in our lives, God's developing it, and we'll see it changing with the seasons in our perception of it. But that's okay. That's okay. The pressure's off. Gardening analogies only go so far, of course. But I couldn't not go to that famous passage in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off in me every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So earlier on, I was sort of indicating that felt like it was 99% God and 1% me doing my stuff in the garden. But actually, the reality is 100% him. But that's the mystery, isn't it? I get caught in the paradox of it all because it's all about him and it's about abiding in him. But yet, the paradox is we still have a part to play and that we co-work with him. But the co-working fundamentally is about abiding. It's about remaining in him, because it's him that does the fruiting. It's him that is growing the fruit in our lives. Now this, I don't know how many of you have seen the film The Shack. Yeah? If you haven't seen the film, please see the film. Oh my word, there's some amazing things about the character of God in that film. Isn't an allegory, it will blow your mind with some of the things, maybe offend you in certain ways, and that's good. We all like to be prodded and poked. But there's a bit in the film where the main character, Mac, he is talking with the God figure, who's a black mama, and they are looking at this beautiful bird out on the veranda, and God says to Mac, he said, "Oh, that's, yeah, she's a beauty, isn't he? Isn't she? I created that bird to fly." Oh, hello. Interesting. And she said, "I created that bird to fly." And then she turned to Mac and she said, "I created you to be loved." Oh, hang on a minute. Whoa. Isn't it all about all the stuff I've got to do? All the stuff I've got to achieve? I created you to be loved. Job done. Oh. And our response should be what I would call is the summation of the law, which is, God loved us, so then we love God, and then we love one another. And that is the fruit. And of course, in church circles, I mean, you know, I've been in it for so many years, and however much they say they don't do it, you go to these church conferences and everything, and it's all about growth and numbers and all these activities you're putting on and things that you're doing, and how, you know, you get exhausted just listening to it all. And I'm not saying it doesn't have its place, but when it comes to what's really happening about the maturity of a place, about a church and where it's really going, what does success look like? Well, how do you measure its fruit? How do you measure it? How much patience is going on? How much perseverance is going on? How much gentleness and kindness is going on? I believe that that is fundamentally so much of what he's looking for. He's a fruit inspector. He's looking on at the church, looking on at our lives and saying, how's that going? How's that developing? How's that maturing? And I've just been amazed that, in a sense, God has led me, forced me in a way, to be in the garden. And I'm realizing that as I spend more and more time in creation, that he's revealing more and more that's been there all along, in front of our faces, in plain sight. Do I have eyes to see and ears to hear what we can learn through these things? So I just want to end by recommending two books. Unfortunately, one of them has walked in my house and I can't find it. I don't know. Yeah, so there's this one called Thirsting, and there's another one called Beholding by a New Zealand guy called Strom Coleman. And those two books have absolutely revolutionized my wife and I over the last year, 18 months. And in this book, Thirsting, particularly towards the end, you get a lot more detailed stuff and a lot more theological stuff about the analogy of gardening and fruit. But I wanted to highly recommend those books, either on audio or get hold of them. And I really do think they would bless you. I hope they will, and have a significant impact on your life, perhaps in the same way that they have on ours. So can we just spend a few moments now, just as we close, asking the Lord, is there just one thing? This is just one nugget from my wall of words this morning that, you know, the Lord's speaking to you about, saying, will you notice this? Will you pay attention to it? Is there something in our lives that we need to pay maybe a bit more attention to? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you put such beautiful provision and creation all around us that can speak so many powerful lessons about our lives. And when we put it together with your word, we see so often how we miss it. Somehow we get so caught up in activities and things, even though those are good, some of them. We miss the deeper things about what you're birthing within us, what you're doing within us, how you are changing us, and how much we just need to abide in you. Yeah, thank you that you're growing the fruit within us. And we're trusting you. We're trusting you, Lord, that as we do our best, that you will meet us and continue to do that which we cannot do. We love you, Lord.